This is not a terrorist event. What it is right now is their improvised explosive devices that was found. And we are working on confirming if this is a viable device or not.
My goodness, yet again, with instilling confidence in the American people. Happy New Year, my friend. Thank you so much for tuning in to The Dana Show from the home of Starbase, Texas, the Rio Grande Valley, Texas, as I call it, The Dana Show Southern Command, faithful affiliate, 710-KURV. I'm Sergio Sanchez, wishing you and your family a very happy, prosperous, and safe New Year. My goodness, 2025, what a crazy way to start. Oh, my goodness, 15 families losing loved ones. At least, well, maybe, well, 15 folks that died as a result of this terrorist attack. Yes, it was a terrorist attack. And what's crazy about that opening little bit of audio, that was, let's see, Aletha Duncan, FBI Assistant Special Agent in Charge. Aletha Duncan said, no, this is not, no, this is not an this is not a terrorist incident. It's not a terrorist attack. She inherited the microphone from the mayor of New Orleans, who started the press conference by saying this. You got the audio, Steve?
Good morning. First of all, we do know that the city of New Orleans was impacted by a terrorist attack.
That's how the press conference started. It's a terrorist attack. And then she went a little bit for about 2-3 minutes, and then the FBI saying, no, it's not a terrorist attack. Oh, my goodness. Right out of the gate, just stumbling like Keystone Cops. Mercifully, Joe Biden was awake, and I think it was just a few hours later. It was cut four where President Biden saying, yeah, it's a terrorist attack. And he mentioned a bit more information on the attack and social media. It's cut four,
Steve. Here's what we know so far. The FBI has reported to me the killer was an American citizen born in Texas. He served in the United States Army on active duty for many years. He also served in the Army Reserve until a few years ago. The FBI also reported to me that mere hours before the attack, he posted videos on social media indicating that he was inspired by ISIS.
I don't know. I hear a little pep in his step. Is it just me? Or maybe it's the fact that Joe Biden sounded like a little bit upbeat. He said, it's a U.S. citizen. Oh, good. We don't have to blame anybody from overseas. Or an illegal immigrant. We dodged that bullet, right? Oh, and he's from Texas. There you go. Take that, Greg Abbott. He's one of yours, born in Texas, right? Oh, and he's in the military. He's one of ours, a homegrown a terrorist. It's cut five, Governor Landry in Louisiana. Here's where the back and forth and all the tug of war and the incompetence by the Biden administration and all the mishap. All we need to hear, and I've yet to hear this little nugget of information. Oh, he was on the FBI's radar. He was on. I'm waiting for that any moment now. He was on the FBI radar. It's you know what's coming. You know what's coming, people, because already people that served in the military. With, I'm not going to say this idiot's name, this terrorist, this Islamo-fascist, this radicalized, obviously radicalized, American-born radicalized Islamo-fascist. I'm not going to say his name. But this guy, the people that he served with in the military, saying that there was a screw loose, there was something, and they complained about him as well. So I'm waiting to hear from the FBI. Oh, he was on our radar. Let's play cut five, Governor Landry in Louisiana. Steve, go ahead.
Hold on. Then who was next? We had over here.
Hi, Rachel Wolf from the Wall Street Journal. You said you are confident there are multiple suspects involved. What makes you confident?
Well, like, why would we tell you that? Again, look, we want to answer pertinent questions. But anything that would lead to impeding or endangering this investigation is not going to be said, okay? And we will, as information unfolds, this is a very fluid process. And remember something, too. We're doing two things. We're hunting some bad people down, and we're securing the city, too. We're getting ready for a sugar bowl tomorrow. So if y'all would, again, if you have questions regarding the sugar bowl, the safety of the city, or something to that effect, we're happy to answer.
Yeah, my only hope and prayer is that, oh, fine. It's good that they say they're hunting down some more bad guys, some more bad omens. I think reverse psychology might have worked as well. Saying, no, just They lie all the time. I'm just putting out there just commentary from me. But they lie all the time. That's not commentary. That's actually reality. But why don't you use that to your advantage? Now, they told us, they already squealed and said, we're looking for bad hombres. We're looking for bad people. We're looking, he didn't act alone. We're looking for other people. I don't know, maybe reverse psychology. Oh, we believe that he acted alone, blah, 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 blah. But yes, I know I have to backtrack it, but just use it. I mean, you got a bunch of stooges in the media that are doing the bidding and the work of the national government and the administration, the Joe Biden administration and people in the FBI, you know, get the special phone call early in the morning to be outside Mar-a-Lago for a raid that needs to be televised and to go in there with, you know, pointing guns everywhere. We know that the FBI can get the job done. But why don't you say, I don't know, I'm just blurting out an opinion. Why don't you say that we never suspect maybe he's alone? We're not going to comment on any further on this investigation, like the governor said. You know, ask me about the bowl game. Ask me about security in the city. That's fine. But I'm thinking by saying that you're searching for other individuals, that you're on the hunt for other individuals, well, now they know you're coming. Instead of them, and hopefully them just sitting around, staying put, watching TV, watching, you know, the Clueless News Network and everybody else talk about this, and then you surprise them, boom, you surprise them. You had them in your sights the whole time. And just, I'm not in law enforcement. For me, it's just easy to opine about stuff like this. What do I know? I'm not in law enforcement. But I'm thinking, use the press, use the media. Be coy about the information you send out there. Now, my hope and prayer is that the intelligence agencies, they actually flex their intelligence to prevent. Now, we know that, and again, compliments and Happy New Year and hugs to all the good folks at the FBI who are still working with great frustration, I'm sure, under the Biden administration, the mismanagement of investigatory tools and agencies in this government to go after innocents, to go after, you know, Catholic private school families, or go after individuals that, you know, threaten to go after individuals that go to school boards and have a problem with a school board. You got to watch out for those domestic terrorists. Oh, and watch out for, you know, the most dangerous terrorist in our nation, right? Flashback to Joe Biden, cut 13, Steve. Remember this, Jim? Cut 13.
To single out as the most dangerous terrorist threat to our homeland is white supremacy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, maybe the FBI needs to concentrate on that. Maybe they haven't been able to find any. We know that the FBI, good FBI folks, when they put their minds to it, they can get the job done. Find, I don't know, people like the Oklahoma City bomber, the Unabomber. I wish that we could apply their talents, the FBI talents, to national problems like human smuggling. I don't know, maybe the Department of Homeland Security, since they have admitted they lost how many kids under the Biden administration? 300,000 kids under the Biden administration that went with sponsor. They have no idea where these kids are. I'm hoping they're safe. I know you're hoping that they're safe. But even if a crumb, even if a minute, minuscule number of the 300,000 children that this government mismanaged and sent with adults into the interior somewhere, and they can't find them, even if a small number of those babies are living hell on earth in sex slavery, that is not acceptable. Maybe get the FBI to work something like that. We know that they can get the job done. They can check surveillance video. They can do online searches. They can do some tracking, door-to-door knocking, surveilling. You know, kind of like they found all the people from January 6th and sent all these grandmas and patriots and people who were waved in to the Capitol building, you know, during the J6 thing. Yeah, the FBI, they did yeoman's work. They were sent there by this administration, the higher-ups in this administration, said they'd go find all the J6 people and make an example of them. So we have some interesting notes as the investigation and all these press conferences come out. We found out this morning. Now, I should have written it down somewhere, but this app that was used, there's a couple of interesting notes between what took place in New Orleans. 15 people killed the weapon of choice, a big old truck, big old white truck, and it was rented by some online app that's like Airbnb for car owners who can rent out their vehicles. The Cybertruck attack in Las Vegas, which I just like, was taken back when I saw that video yesterday from Las Vegas, because if you see the video, you can see that the entrance where the Cybertruck is at the valet area, and it says Trump Tower. My kids were there. Me and my family were there not too many months ago during a summer trip. We didn't go to Vegas with the kids to show off Vegas. Like I was telling my producer, Freddie, here in the studio, we went to see the western portion of the Grand Canyon, and from there we could hop, skip, go to the Reagan Library in California and just do a lot of driving around and see that region. We stayed at the Trump Hotel. I think it was just at least one night to say that we stayed at the Trump Hotel. And I'm thinking, wow, it was, you know, we were right there at the entrance. Well, that individual, who I'm not going to say his name either, because the national news have been repeating his name, this guy and the terrorist in New Orleans, they might have known each other. There's reports from ABC, from Fox, everybody saying that these two, they served in the same unit or they served in the military in the same base, and they might have known each other. Oh, and the other interesting tidbit is that this Airbnb-style car rental where you can rent your car out to people, the white truck and the Cybertruck were both rented out by that same online Airbnb-style car rental thing that I've never heard of before. I find that interesting because you think, well, if they were truly separate incidents, not connected to each other in any way, you know, it's very suspicious that these two were in the military. They served in the same place, probably knew each other, and the same this obscure car rental thing was used to rent both vehicles. You got some owners out there, some vehicles, an owner of a white truck and an owner of a Tesla Cybertruck. Calling in insurance saying, Allstate, State Farm, you're not going to believe this, but I need to put in a claim because my vehicle doesn't exist anymore. But they're more than likely connected. And that's why I say my hope and prayer is that the intelligence agency, the FBI and amigos and other friends, which, by the way, as I'm talking to you right now, because I saw that advisory from the White House, just now, like at this moment, this hour, hour one of the Dana Show, just now, Joe Biden has called his national security team together to have a conversation. Just now, about 24 hours after the president said, yeah, it was a terrorist attack. So maybe, you know, he needed to take an extra nap and sleep a little into, you know, get himself oriented for the conversation today. But that's what's taking place. They're talking about this. So there's other individuals being sought. I hope the FBI can flex with other intelligence agencies and get the job done and prevent any more terrorist attacks, because we know this is a terrorist attack. And yes, the usual suspects, Islamic terrorism, is at the front of the line. I'm Sergio Sanchez. Happy New Year to you and your family. I'm filling in today for my friend Dana Lash. This is The Dana Show.
Our partners over at Preborn, great organization that's out there saving lives right and left, and they're meeting with mothers, and they're helping them as these mothers are facing an unexpected pregnancy, or unplanned pregnancy, I should say. And a lot of people are searching for hope, and a lot of people feel like that's, you know, a lot of women, they think that that's their last resort, and it's not. And that's what Preborn Ministry steps in to help with. They meet these women. They introduce them to their babies. Ultrasounds, they listen to the heartbeat. When that happens, studies shown that a child's chance of surviving doubles at that point. But that's not all. They partner with these women up until the toddler years, making sure that these families get the best start. And that just goes so much. That's exactly what is needed. They steward these women. They help this new life. And they're able to do it because of your generous donations. Save a life this Christmas. It starts at just $28. I mean, by donating that amount, you can help support women and babies in need and provide vital care and resources. You can make even a larger life-changing donation, $5,000, $10,000, $15,000. You can use that to save countless babies. Maximize your year-end tax deduction. It's doubled with a special matching grant as well. so your gift will have double the impact. Any donation matters. So if you want to know how to donate, it's simple and easy. You just dial pound, or for millennials, hashtag #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, keyword baby. You can also visit preborn.com/Dana to donate online. Every contribution counts. #250, say the keyword baby, preborn.com/Dana.
Cutting a deficit seems simple. It's just not easy. Like dieting or saving money, cutting the deficit is simple. It's just not easy. Cutting the deficit is not so much about cutting personnel, it's about cutting the money they hand out.
Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast.
Get the lowdown on the latest news with a side of laughs whenever you want. Subscribe to the Dana Show podcast on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
I'm Sergio Sanchez in for my friend Dana Lash. Dana should be with us, Lord willing, sometime next week, early in the week, I believe, right after the holiday. Time now for a quick five.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Here's an interesting note I've been chomping at the bit to share with you. I'm today old when it comes to knowing this about Jimmy Carter. Yes, I'm one of the worst presidents of all time. Right behind Barack Hussein Obama. Definitely right behind Joe Biden. But Jimmy Carter was a naval officer and nuclear engineer. I knew he was in the Navy. I don't remember picking that up as far as nuclear engineering. Back in the 1950s, there was a research facility in Canada suffered a partial meltdown. Millions of gallons of contaminated radio wastewater flooded the area. They brought in Carter, one of the few people with the clearance and knowledge to deal with that kind of nuclear radioactive disaster. Some training, Carter was physically lowered into the reactor and helped to avert further disaster. Fascinating. Healthcare and self-care, hot topics on social media this year. The most Googled questions 2024 included topics like whether bronchitis, pneumonia, or strep throat are contagious. Americans also wanted to know how much water they need to drink every day. And Bernie Madoff in the news, final payments for the from the fund for his victims of the late Ponzi schemer, Bernie Madoff. The final payment sent out this week, $131 million. All in all, $4.3 billion sent out to his victims. From South Texas, you're listening to The Dana Show.
The Black Rifle Coffee, the Founding Fathers, Freedom Roast, that would have been their roast had they had a favorite roast. It would have been the Freedom Roast from Black Rifle Coffee. It's a smooth medium roast. It tastes great. Look, it's good. Do you want to drink trash communist coffee, or do you want to drink something that's been brought to fruition by a bunch of coffee dorks? There's no other way to put it. They're, God love them, they're veterans. They have that military discipline. They have that super hyper focus, and they were able to use all of that to make really great coffee. Freedom Roast is just one of the latest, smooth, full of flavor. And it has a very buttery finish. It's very good. And you can get 20% off using code Dana at blackriflecoffee.com. Freedom Roast is just one of the roasts that you can pick. Join the coffee club and then have all of your stuff sent automated shipping so you never have to worry about running out of coffee. And it's cheaper than anything, even the bougiest brands, and it's better than the bougiest brands you'll get in the store. All you have to do is go order at blackriflecoffee.com. Save 20% using code Dana and check out the Freedom Roast, the latest from blackriflecoffee.com. Other top shelf roasts as well, just blacks. Silencer smooth. Save 20% with code Dana at blackriflecoffee.com.
The Dana Show Podcast, your fast, funny, and informative news companion for those always on the move. Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're going to get this done. Look, I'm humbled and honored to have President Trump's endorsement for the role again, as well as the endorsement of leaders across the conservative spectrum and the Republican Party, all of my colleagues that are standing with us, and we will get this done. Look, the things that we're talking about this morning are an illustration that we live in very serious times. We cannot afford any palace drama here. We have got to get the Congress started, which begins tomorrow, and we have to get immediately to work. We have to certify the election of President Donald J. Trump.
Yeah, can you imagine that? Can you imagine that? Not having a Republican Speaker of the House, everything in chaos, Matt Gaetz style. Can you, and not being able to take care of business and certify Donald Trump as president, you know, the Congress take care of business like they're supposed to. I'm Sergio Sanchez in for my friend Dana Loesch. Dana should be back with us, Lord willing, early next week. So you guys stick around. We got lots of great information to share with you today. One of them, which is a crazy start to the new year. My goodness. A big hug to all the family in Vegas, to our friend Vegas Larry, shoveling all the information as much as possible over to the producers of the Dana Show, just doing yeoman's work over there at his talk radio station, news radio station. And of all places, it's, let's call it what it is, a coordinated terror attack. I'm not afraid to put it out there. Of course, I'm not investigating this, but I think, like you can think, and everybody can see all the evidence that's in front of us, we got an Islamo-fascist attacking innocents in New Orleans, killing 15 people and injuring Lord knows how many dozens more got hurt. And then a coordinated attack by an individual that this terrorist more than likely knew, because they served in the military and probably in the same base or in the same place. They probably knew each other. Oh, and they rented vehicles, separate vehicles, from an obscure car renting app, kind of like Airbnb. All these connections, and of course, making a statement with a cyber truck of all things in front of the Trump Tower, the Trump Hotel. Sorry, not the Trump Tower, the Trump Hotel there in Vegas. Which, by the way, Elon Musk chimed in and said, these numbskulls, these idiots, he chose this attacker, this bomber. And I could say, he is a suicide bomber. He's dead. This individual who, according to police and police reports, all the incendiary devices, the mortar fireworks, I didn't know such a thing exists, mortar fireworks, the incendiary, the accelerants, the tanks of fuel, whatever he had had a firing mechanism, and he fired. He's dead. So he's a suicide bomber there in front of the Trump Hotel in Vegas, a beautiful tower which we stayed in. To me, it's just surreal to see the images there at the front, the golden front door where it says the Trump Hotel, the Trump Tower. Because my kids were right there, like at that very door, my kids were there just a few months back when we went to Vegas to take in the sights in that region of the country. It's just amazing. But at this attack at the Trump Hotel, Elon Musk chimed in and said, hey, these numbskulls, these idiots, they used, see, the truck helped to deviate the force of the blast. That's what I take from it. From these reports, the way the Cybertruck is shaped, the tail of it, the way it's constructed, there's probably all these steel panels, everything's held in real tight. It's a tough vehicle. It's at one point I remember Elon Musk taking a bat to this thing, or showing how it's pretty sturdy. You can try to break the glass, it doesn't even break. But somehow the explosion, the percussion of the explosion was deviated to a point where. I didn't see any broken glass at the Trump Hotel. Did you? It's just like everything popped. Maybe the percussive effect with exposure went up and away from the area. And, of course, we get all the fireworks after that. So, yeah, numbskull used the wrong truck to try to inflict damage on the area. Speaker Johnson has the endorsement of Donald Trump, full endorsement. I just think President Trump is trying to avoid Matt Gaetz-style chaos at the House. And that was, I have not forgotten. Yes, I'm very disappointed. Matt Gaetz was an eloquent, articulate defender and speaker on behalf of the conservative cause. When it comes to certain conservative issues, maybe he not so much as far as his personal life. And yes, all this embarrassing revelations. That's why. Man, dude, if you can't keep it in your pocket, ask God Almighty to give you a helpful companion, give you a wife, go find you someone that can help you sow your royal oats. We know the embarrassing revelations when it comes to Matt Gaetz. And Matt, he was. I think Matt's going to make a great talk show host someday. I think Matt may have a great job waiting for him at some think tank to maybe develop. Some counterpunches. So when the left comes at you, maybe he can develop some counterpunches and sit down and provide those talking points for, like they do on the left, where they own the media and they send out their little talking points. Well, maybe on the right, since we suck so much, I say we, being GOP, we suck so much on the right when it comes to coordinating an attack or a counterattack or a counterproposal or maybe putting the talking points out there to, you know, because truth is on our side. And we know the lies from the left. Maybe Matt Gaetz will be good at something like that. I'm going to share with you a conversation here in just a little bit related to that. Let me get through some other headlines. Sadly, in New Orleans, the security barriers that would have protected the crowds on Bourbon Street were removed before the attack on Wednesday. The bollards, those big old steel, like 3 foot tall little steel pegs that prevent you from driving into an area, that's what had been removed. They say that they had been malfunctioning. How does something like what? They go down to the ground and you bring them back up by motor? Is that what it was? Or they weren't fixed properly into the ground? Anyway, the mayor of New Orleans said that the bollards were being replaced ahead of the city celebrating the Super Bowl in a few weeks. So had those bollards been there? Well, maybe. I don't know. It all depends if they do it from wall to wall and cover the sidewalks as well. And then there's this note. Dallas Mavericks star Luka Doncic. I always want to say bless you every time I hear the name. Luka Doncic, bless you. Latest professional athlete to have his home burglarized. Dallas Morning News said that Luka Doncic, his house was broken into on Friday night. And thieves got in there, were able to make off with about $30,000 worth of jewelry. No one home during the break-in. Now, it begs the question. Now, I bought a security system for my mom when she was living alone just down the street from me, about 5 minutes away. She wanted to live alone, fine. I had a security system with cameras inside the house to make sure she was walking around, she was okay. Anybody rung the door or there was a security alert, but my phone would be ablaze. You think these multi-million dollar players, can't they afford like Vivint or Simply Safe or Bing or something like that? Maybe, I don't know, find yourself a family member, like some nephew or, you know, an aunt or somebody that wants to tag along, you know, do some house sitting for you. No excuse for their houses to be broken into. Okay, so let me share with you now a conversation I promised you. President Trump, all in for Speaker Johnson, my friend John Pudner. He's a senior advisor to the Faith and Freedom Coalition. Happy New Year, brother. How was your holiday?
Oh, fantastic. Thank you.
I see that Donald Trump gives full endorsement. Mike Johnson, keep the gavel, keep working as Speaker of the House. Complete and total endorsement, he says. I would prefer somebody a little stronger, conservative causes in D.C., but I'm thinking this President Trump would just like to avoid the chaos of trying to select a new speaker and all the infighting that, you know, thanks to Matt Gaetz, we saw how that wound up for months in D.C. I think avoiding chaos probably the best solution at the moment.
Yes, and the extra reason right now is you have to have a House with a speaker able to convene on Monday to certify that Trump is president. So this one really is much more difficult than the past battle over speaker. I mean, the chaos would be, well, technically Trump's not president on Monday. And you know, none of us want that. We want the agenda moving forward. So I'm hoping that some of these conservatives, some of these conservative members are using this time to make points and get commitments from Johnson. I'm hoping they're doing that, but I do hope that none of them vote no tomorrow at noon, because Massey's already said he won't support, and that leaves you just a one vote margin. If anyone else vote, if he had one other vote no, we don't have a speaker. That's all
goodness.
It takes.
Yeah. I hope he survives, and I hope that Republicans take, rip a page out of the Democrat playbook, lock arms, and march in one direction. We need those tax breaks. We need to re-up those tax breaks. We need border security efforts. There's a lot of this agenda that needs to take place like now, because I don't know if the GOP leadership has it in them to put the ground game necessary to try to win enough seats in 2 years to make sure that the Trump agenda keeps plowing forward. So I think they only have less than 24 months to get the agenda done.
I agree. And just historically, generally, after a president wins, you know, 2 years out, they lose some seats. So you know, hope that doesn't happen. But I'm just saying, historically, we'll be fighting history a little. To you know, if you're up 20 when your president wins, then maybe you're up 10, you know, 2 years later when he's not on the ballot. But so I agree. I think it's got to be full speed ahead. You've got 2 years here to get through everything you can, and that may be it. We may just be in a stalemate the next 2 years with Republican president and Senate, perhaps, but maybe not a House. So that's what we're looking at.
I think folks that sit on the sidelines who start complaining about the Republicans not getting it done and not being strong enough, not conservative enough, not pushing hard enough for the Trump agenda, I think there's several million of them in there somewhere who supported Trump but also voted for the Democrat congressional representative in their district, or worse, did not vote for Congress. They just voted for Trump and allow the Democrat to go back in there. There's about 30, 40 seats that oscillate. They go R&D. And because I see some examples here in Texas. Here in South Texas, I see examples of the undervote, the people that did not support the congressional candidate but supported Trump. We won all here in South Texas. We won. Donald Trump won all of South Texas, the border counties. First time ever we've ever seen that. But then if you get deeper into the weeds of the vote, you see how many people did not vote for Ted Cruz, how many people did not vote for their Republican candidate on the ballot. So the voters have only themselves to blame. So follow Trump on this one. Keep Mike Johnson. Let's go. Let's get the agenda done.
Yeah, I think this is one of the classic old adage in politics is don't make the perfect the enemy of the good. I mean, right now there are only two choices. We either elect Johnson and have a House on Monday and certify that Trump's president, or we don't elect Johnson and we don't certify that Trump's president on Monday. I mean, this
wow.
One's very clear cut, I think. I think that's how you got to lay it out to people.
Okay. Who is it you said that was not going to support Speaker Johnson on this one?
Thomas Massie's the one who has said he will not support him. And then Matt Gaetz kind of, you know, said to stop picking on him in a tweet. I'm like, you know, we just hate to say this might be a situation where it's good that Matt isn't still in there, because if he were to go further and join him in a no vote, that would stop everything. I mean, he's the one, man.
Okay.
He's definitely the most independent thinker.
Well, that's fine. But does he have a backup? Has Thomas Massie proposed someone who everybody can rally around and elect a speaker? Or he's just doing the Matt Gaetz thing, saying, no, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to vote. I'm going to sit there in the corner and just ruin the day for everybody.
Yeah, another old adage, no one thinks the day after the revolution. When you overthrow a government or something, that was the old adage from centuries back. But same kind of thing. No, I haven't seen him propose any plan and who this other person would be. And
of course,
the problem is, if you play it out, the Democrats can come up with their alternative and say, hey, you Mr. Whoever, we'll make you speaker if you just, you're with us and you give us chairmanships. I mean, it just gets to a complete mess in these things. So I think we just need to avoid all that.
Okay. Thank you, John, for your time. We'll talk soon, amigo. Senior advisor.
Thank you.
Senior advisor to Faith and Freedom Coalition, John Putner. I'm Sergio Sanchez in for my friend Dana Lash. Dana will be with us after the holiday, early next week, Lord willing. Got some breaking news. In fact, Dana was one who posted this a few minutes back. The driver in that Cybertruck attack in Vegas at the Trump Hotel, the driver of that truck was an active duty Green Beret. Dun, dun, dun. The story gets more interesting. Hey, stick around. Got more breaking news information. This is The Dana Show from South Texas.
Our partners, Preborn is a great organization that's been working with women all across the nation, and they meet women where they are. They assist them in navigating the difficult decisions that come when you choose life, whether a woman is got pregnant unplanned, or she's worried about her ability to be a single parent, whatever the situation is. Preborn is there with the mother every step of the way. And they do this first by providing ultrasounds. And you make that happen because your donations make it happen. Every single time, and every donation amount matters. Every single donation helps in bringing these ultrasounds to these women. Because women, when moms see their baby's image in an ultrasound and hear the heartbeat, that baby's chance for life doubles. They've done numerous studies on this. So you can donate this Giving Tuesday, the gift that reaches eternity, and help them reach their goal of providing 1,500 ultrasounds to save more babies. And it's super simple to donate. And you can double your impact with matching gifts. And this is, I mean, it's a huge impact, and you can make this be part of this before the year ends. But don't wait. Your donation today can help save the lives of babies. And these, and preborn, by the way, also partners with moms all the way up until the toddler years with things that they need, maternity, diapers, etc. Donating is simple. Visit preborn.com/Dana to donate, or dial #250, say the keyword baby. And they want to reach the goal of 1,500 ultrasound sponsorships. That's preborn.com/Dana, #250, keyword baby.
Brighten up your timely news consumption with a Dana Show podcast, where every update comes with a little dash of not so serious on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Minister Netanyahu about a ceasefire deal. You said if they don't have one by the time you take office, there will be hell to pay.
We're going
to
see what happens.
Have you spoken to
President? Do you have too much information?
They better let the hostages come back.
Do you hear that? Yeah, they better let the hostages go soon. President Trump, in true form, absolutely. You know, under his administration, and I'm looking forward to maybe in another generation, maybe if I stick around long enough, maybe in the next half generation or so, maybe somebody, some of these new independent faith-based Christian or faith-based or independent movie houses that are becoming more successful, like Angel Studios. Maybe they can write a script on how under the Trump administration, he released the hounds. And they took care of ISIS, took out ISIS, left and right, different operations. No one knew about, no one has heard. We have yet to see, we've yet to read about these stories. Yet, under Donald Trump, that's what I'm expecting. They don't release the hostages. Yeah, he's going to take care of business. He will release the hounds, work with Israel. And it's 72 virgins for every one of these cockroaches that are still holding on to the hostages in Israel. I'm Sergio Sanchez. This is the Dana Show. Stick around. Got conversations coming up with some close friends. Joe Cardinale, he's a retired NYPD commander. He's a close friend of Curtis Sliwa. He knows Curtis. He's a friend of Curtis Sliwa. That name sound familiar? Yeah, the Guardian Angels. You know, they're on patrol again in New York City subways. It's about time, muchachos. It's about time. We needed you. But now that that poor woman was incinerated and killed by an illegal immigrant, yeah, now they're patrolling the subways in New York. So a friend of Curtis Sliwa from the Guardian Angels, who are now on patrol, coming up in the show. Also, H-1B visas, a conversation on that. Are we not graduating enough IT, high-tech, software, computer nerds? I think we are. I think we need to reform that program. I'm Sergio Sanchez. You're listening to The Dana Show.
As we move, our partners, they'll help bring you the program. Kel-Tec P15, the lightest, thinnest, double stack 9mm that's on the market. It is epic for concealed carry. It's great. It's perfect for it. It's made for it. It's the lightest, thinnest 9mm that's out there from Kel-Tec, the inventors of the micro-compact pistol category. Two versions, metal frame, polymer. Metal frame has gorgeous walnut panels on it. Polymer has gator grip texture. Both ship with two standard capacity magazines. One's a standard 15-round minimal pinky extension. One's a flush fit double stack mag that holds 12 rounds for extra concealability. Tritium fiber optic front sight, fully adjustable fiber optic, 2-dot rear, lifetime warranty. It's one of the, I mean, you got to have it. It has to be a necessity in your EDC rotation. Quality made right here in the US of A. Innovation performance, Kel-Tec. Learn more at KelTecWeapons.com. That's KELTECweapons.com. It's the P15. Tell them Dana sent you.
The border was not Biden's finest moment, frankly. You can see what happened here. And Trump is not wrong when he talks about how border crossings were quite low. They were running about 74,000 a month when he left office. And they, in fact, did shoot up. Some of it was some things Biden said and some ways that they put a moratorium, for example, on deportations. But, in fact, we did get up here almost to 300,000.
Yeah, showing a chart. That was the... That was MSNBC, someone on MSNBC, admitting that Donald Trump, he's not wrong, showing on a chart some damning information on the immigration spike under Joe Biden, who did a complete 180 from what Donald Trump did and pretty much opened the border. and send out an invitation for everybody to come to the border. Come, it's open season at the border. Come in and stay. Just declare asylum. I'm Sergio Sanchez, and you're listening to The Dana Show, broadcasting today from her faithful affiliate, 710 KURV, and the RGV of Texas, home of Star Base. Dana should be back with us early next week, Lord willing. And speaking of opening up the border, open invitation, it's Tom Homan also in the news. Tom Homan, this Biden administration, the unsecured border, the open border, anybody to cross and stay, that's the whole thing, cross and stay. Just say the right words, game the system, and now we've got over 10 million illegals that have come in, probably more than that if you count all the people that were not caught by Border Patrol. It's Cut 14, Steve, with Tom Homan on the mess that this administration made when it came to border security or lack thereof.
Well, look, I said yesterday, well, I think we're going to find out after the investigation. I think you got 2 U.S. citizens. I'm talking about Las Vegas and New Orleans. I think you'll have 2 U.S. citizens with prior military experience. I think you're going to find they both had recent foreign travel. They both were inspired by ISIS. I think they're both on a suicide mission. I think both of these incidents, these men knew they weren't going home. So this is just another danger this country faces, because this country's been lax on national security in the groups like this been emboldened. I mean, when you got, you know, protesters walking down the streets in New York City carrying terrorist flags, chanting death to Israel and death to the United States, and nothing's being done about it. And when you got a border that was secure under President Trump, and this administration unsecured it on purpose, It's an open invitation for those around the world that hate this country.
Our new border czar, a real border czar for the Trump administration, Tom Homan, just chopping at the bit to get in there. We do know so far the New Orleans terrorist attack. It was, you know, this guy was flying an ISIS flag. He was radicalized. People who served with him at that same military base, which, by the way, this guy in New Orleans and the guy who blew himself up inside a Cybertruck outside the Trump Hotel in Vegas, they were stationed at the same base. Now, Tom Homan's saying that, you know, he's suspecting that with time, maybe information will come out and say that they did some foreign travel. There was one report, and I've yet to pin this down. There was one report early that said, for example, the guy in New Orleans, the terrorist of New Orleans who killed, the number has been revised down to 14, by the way. I saw that the FBI did an update earlier today, said that the attack on Burma Street was an act of terrorism. The FBI, their words, they said at least 14 killed, dozen more injured. There was a report yesterday at the early hours of this that truck, and which, by the way, this guy who attacked, who killed those people, this terrorist who killed those people in New Orleans, he lived in North Houston, FBI working in the North Houston area, doing an investigation on this. I don't believe they've taken anybody into custody at this guy's house. But there was a report that the truck that this guy was in had crossed the Mexican border at Del Rio. Now, initial report said 2 days ago. I do believe I saw within the past several hours somebody backed the truck literally on this one, said, no, it was several weeks back that it crossed the Mexican border, which could mean anything. Again, these vehicles, the Cybertruck that was used by more than likely, it increasingly by the hour, I guess, you could say that increasingly it seems that the Cybertruck suicide bomber, because in essence, that's what happened. He killed himself. He committed suicide. Whether he wanted to or not, he killed himself. The guy in Las Vegas. He rented a vehicle through some obscure app. This guy in Houston, he rented that truck through some obscure app, the same obscure app. So that app rents vehicles that other people own. It's not like Vegas or it's not like Avis or Hertz or Budget, you name it. It's an app. You own a truck and you're able to rent it out. And they used that same app. They were stationed at the same base. We come to find out, and I know Dana posted this last hour, the suicide bomber, I'm calling him, the suicide bomber in Vegas, intentional or not, the suicide bomber, he was an active duty Green Beret. I guess if his intent was to cause extreme damage to the property. God knows, I don't even want to take my mind there as to what could have happened had this been, oh, God forbid, something bigger like, you know, Oklahoma City. Oh, my Lord. God forbid. Had it been something like that. Obviously, they don't. Maybe this guy failed the course on munitions because he had like fireworks and gas canisters and accelerants and other things like that. Reports from yesterday saying that all this had a switch where he just flipped the switch and blew himself up and caused a bunch of damage. But because it was a Cybertruck, like Elon Musk said, because it was a Cybertruck and the how sturdy these Cykers are built, or guess the shape of it, maybe the geometric weirdness of the Cybertruck kept the force of the explosion and moved in a different direction, where it didn't even, the explosion didn't even break the glass at the Trump Hotel. Thank God for that. So let's catch up to speed. So last hour, the FBI had a press conference. An act of terrorism, 14 is the number that they're saying killed, at least 14. And may God save and heal the other people that are in the hospital, dozens in the hospital. At Bourbon Street area, a hotspot, the assistant director, FBI, Christopher Rea, is saying that it is confirmed that this suspect, I'm not going to say his name, that he pledged his support for ISIS, did that on social media. Joe Biden said that yesterday as well. I find it interesting that this of all times, right, they threw Joe out there and try to get ahead of the game. And try to make sure to stay in front of the cameras. While embarrassingly, if you heard the first hour of the Dana Show, embarrassingly, you had the mayor of New Orleans saying, yeah, we've been hit by a terrorist attack. And then just 2 minutes later, gave the microphone to the FBI person in charge there in New Orleans saying, no, this is not a terrorist attack. And then Joe Biden, a little bit afterwards, saying, yeah, we suffered a terrorist attack. All over the place. I find it interesting how they put him out there ahead of the story as much as possible. I guess make sure that Donald Trump doesn't own the story, right? Because you know that Tom Holman has to be making phone calls to people in the Department of Homeland Security who he worked with and he directed at one time. I'm sure that people within the incoming administration, even Sebastian Gorka, remember him? He's going to be, again, he's going to be director of, what is it, like national security or intelligence, foreign intelligence, something like that. He has an intelligence role. And I bet you all these people were making phone calls trying to figure out what was going on. Throw Joe Biden out there before Trump says anything, before, you know, to make sure you say the truth as much as possible. So this guy, Assistant Director Chris Rea, in that news conference in New Orleans just a few moments back, they said, yes, they recovered that ISIS flag. Yeah, thank you, Captain Obvious. It was all over social media. See, this is where I agree with Elon Musk. The heritage media, the corporate media, New York-based, New York-centric media, where they want everybody to believe that, you know, their poop don't stink. It's New York. The so-called heritage press, I call them the dinosaur media. This is where they're irrelevant to a certain degree. And because they have lied so much to the American people, going back to all the lies about Donald Trump, all the lies in 2016, all the lies in 2020, all the lies related to COVID, all the lies related to the laptop from hell for, you know, with Biden Jr. All these lies, people, they don't expect to get reliable information. That's why in all this polling data, you see that social media, that's the number one source of news. And at the lead of social media, in social media platforms, is X, is Twitter. Congratulations, Elon Musk. Now, yes, there's a lot of stuff that needs to be confirmed on social media. There's a lot of stuff you can't believe. Like somebody posting that, you know, an old coach is coming back to coach the Dallas Cowboys, and it's they'll post like crazy stuff on there, just silly stuff, clickbait. But many times, especially during breaking news, and I found this to be true during the Trump attempt, both Trump attempted assassinations, social media pictures and video and accounts and testimony were several miles ahead, a head start to traditional media. In my opinion, the role of traditional media, the networks, and in the end, I think that they serve as maybe a final confirmation to what everybody already knows, to what everybody already sees. That ISIS flag was all over social media yesterday. The FBI reported that improvised explosive devices were inside the pickup truck of the terrorist. This individual, and as I said last hour, I heard a little a pep in the step of Joe Biden when he says, U.S.-born citizen, Army veteran. FBI was asking for help and getting more information from folks. And another one I'm trying to pin down is whether more people might have helped this individual. I know they're doing an investigation in Houston. They were doing a raid, but they haven't taken anybody into custody. And as far as the driver who, again, committed suicide intentionally or not, a radicalized individual, we get to hear more information about him, who we know rented his vehicle on the same obscure app that, you know, rents vehicles of people that already own these vehicles and served on the same military base as the terrorists from New Orleans. The driver who died in that Las Vegas hotel, outside the hotel, identified as an Army veteran from Colorado. He's 37 years old. I'm not going to say this loser's name. He rented the electric truck that exploded New Year's Day, and he was in the driver's seat when it blew up, and is lots of media reporting right now, including Dana. She posted it. In an active duty Green Beret. 18 minutes after the hour. You're listening to The Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez. It's an honor to be filling in again for my friend Dana, reporting to you from the home of Starbase, Texas, RGV, at the studios of 710 KURV. This is The Dana Show.
Make some common sense of the crazy headlines with The Dana Show podcast, your on-the-go guide for getting up to speed on today's most important stories. Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or your favorite podcast platform.
Online and nationwide and online worldwide, this is The Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez in for Dana, reporting to you from South Texas. Let's check that quick fire headline.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Giant piece of space junk crashed into an African village south of Nairobi. The Kenyan Space Agency saying that the object, a metallic ring, roughly 8 feet in diameter, weighed about 1,100 pounds. Ooh-wee, man. They say preliminary assessments indicate the space debris was a separation ring from a launch vehicle, which typically burns upon reentry in the atmosphere. I find it surprising that it survived reentry, but I also find it surprising that Kenya has a space agency. That's well, good for them. I hope they're working on some rockets, the Kenyan Space Agency. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen in the news, warning that Congress, warning Congress that the U.S. could hit the debt limit by mid-January. Yellen saying unless lawmakers act, she will need to take extraordinary measures to prevent the U.S. from defaulting. Oh, I hate the way she talks. Biotech startup hoping to bring a pill to market next year that could give dogs an extra year of healthy life. Keyword, healthy life. So the startup in Northern California called Loyal, they say that they have raised $125 million to develop the drug with hope that eventually they could provide something for humans as well, a pill that could extend life. But I was doing the math on this. It would benefit if it was the other way around, don't you think? Like if we had a pill and give it to the doggies and they could extend life. Because what? They say that one human year is like 7 years for doggies, right? So do the math on that. Like, check it out. So if you give a doggie, you give the pooch a pill, extend healthy life by a year, will reverse into how much is that for humans? Like 2 months or just under 2 months? Like 1.7, 1.8 months? That's it? Yeah, keep working on that. Holiday spending is up. According to MasterCard Spending Pulse, data released a couple of days ago, retail holiday sales jumped 3.8% from 2023. That blew past the expectations of 3.2%. And President-elect Donald Trump to hold a big victory rally at Capital One Arena January 19th. I'm Sergio Sanchez. You're listening to The Dana Show.
On the go and need a quick news fix with a fun twist? Follow Dana's Absurd Truth Podcast for bite-sized, informative episodes perfect for your busy schedule on Apple or wherever you get your podcast.
So, Madam Attorney General, if it was up to you, if they were asking your opinion and you were making the decision, would you postpone this game today and for how long?
I would have probably at least have postponed it till Friday. But, you know, I think that they have secured the city and you know, it's OK, I guess, if they're going forward with it. But I would probably have at least delayed it.
Yeah, well, it's easier said than done, I suppose. If they have secured the city, the Louisiana State Attorney General commenting on whether they shouldn't kick the big game down the road. If they have secured the city of New Orleans, I don't see any reason why it doesn't move forward. Sadly, yes, life needs to go on. The city is not destroyed. Lives have been destroyed. It might seem insensitive of me saying something like that, but I think they need to move forward with the game with extra security, I might add. A lot of extra security, I might add. I'm Sergio Sanchez. I'm in for my friend Dana Lash. Appreciate you being with us today. You can listen online as well. And Dana should be back with us early next week, just in time to receive a nasty, nasty cold Arctic blast. Before I mention that, there was another story related to Oh, yeah, because I wanted to pair these two. There was a report showing homelessness in our country surged in the U.S. this year. The Department of Housing and Urban Development released data a couple of days back. It said that the number of people experiencing homelessness went up an impressive 18% in 2024. Now, it's a small sample that they used in that year. Family homelessness saw a major jump. Wow, an impressive almost 40% jump this year compared to the previous year. Meantime, the number of homeless veterans fell 8% this year to 2023. All this is screaming inflation. Yes, the food costs more, the fuel costs more, the light bill costs more, and the owners of the properties, the owners of the apartments, of the condos, of those places that they're leasing, they have to pay more, hence they have to charge more, hence the rent is more expensive, hence the food and everything. So it's a vicious cycle, and not surprising. Oh, that's real painful to see. That the family homelessness number is up almost 40% compared to the previous year. Man, we can't start this administration fast enough, the Trump administration. I've said for the longest time, I am a firm believer that if you decrease, number one, I don't know if he can do much as far as the money supply, the glut of money that's out there, because we got too much money, too much demand, not enough supply. Yes, that naturally increases inflation. But there is one expense that maybe can help lower the light bill. Maybe will help, definitely help lower the gasoline expense. Yeah, that's fuel. America has been hogtied by the Biden administration. We have not been allowed to extract the natural resources, the God-given resources that can help lower the price of the pump and help lower the price of diesel. This is unnecessary, what the Biden administration did to us, and hurt American families, working families, having to pay more for gasoline, having to pay more to, well, hopefully to this point, maybe they've been saving money on heating their homes. I know that's an issue for folks in the Midwest and up Northeast, and the price of this petrol, this oil, this fuel that you use for your furnaces. Yeah, I know you guys are going to be firing that up here pretty soon, but if you increase the supply of all this fuel, definitely, with time, with cheaper delivery to market of goods, that should translate into slightly, hopefully substantial, cheaper goods at the store, for all goods at the store, all groceries at the store, down the road. Yeah, and as I mentioned, there's a big freeze coming, a blast of winter weather going to hit much of the country. The Deep South is going to get blasted next week. Lots of southern states, from Louisiana all the way to Florida. Lots of southern states. Even Texas, we're not going to see the freeze apocalypse like we saw a few years back. That would be more like for areas, like I said, Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, all the way over to Florida sometime next week. All right, as I promised, In the GOP, we got a nasty fight taking place right now on H-1B visas. We got a nasty fight between those who want more, these tech nerds imported, and those who want to reserve some of these high-paying jobs and keep them high-paying jobs by making sure that American graduates, American nerds, take those jobs. Here's my conversation with a friend of mine, a tech expert and attorney, Sean Tuma. We sure do have a lot of people in the tech sector, CEOs and top chiefs and managers and business owners, who want more foreign talent. The H-1B visa used by high-tech, it's for specialty occupations. Man, that's, it seems to be like the top guest worker program that we have in this country. And there's been an infighting in the GOP. Donald Trump likes it. Elon Musk likes it. Vivek Ramaswamy likes it. And you got other folks within the GOP saying, hey, I thought we were America first. How about our college grads, our people first? Let them get those jobs, high-paying, high-tech jobs. I bring in a cybersecurity pro, data privacy attorney, and a friend of mine, Sean Tuma. My brother, I think this H-1B visa, look, I'm not hiring any high-tech people, but I don't know, man. Something doesn't seem right to me. Is our nation not producing enough high-tech grads to fill all these positions, high-paying positions, or is this just high-tech companies that are seeking cheap labor when it comes to high-tech?
I think it's a great question and a great topic to discuss, because we all see the statistics and we hear the data that's out there. But from what I see on the ground, the people I know in the industry, the companies I know that are hiring, there's a lot of really highly skilled, highly qualified America educated people that I know firsthand that have a really difficult time finding these jobs. And we keep hearing all this talk about the demand in the cybersecurity workforce. I mean, I remember doing an interview about that 5 or 6 years ago, and how the colleges were ramping up and they're producing all of this skilled talent, yet these people are graduating and they can't find jobs. And so I don't really understand where the disconnect is there of why folks are still saying we need to be importing these jobs, because the people I know who have these skills, you know, several of them, they're desperately looking for the job. So I think it may have more to do with what we want to pay these people and not so much with the talent.
Well, it's good to hear that we're graduating enough. So I think it could probably take us to a negotiating table where we could talk with Elon Musk and Vivek and President Trump and say, sir, we need to reform this because our graduates are not getting these jobs. And they're not getting these jobs because we got too many being imported, cheap labor coming into this country.
Yeah, I mean, and look, I'm sure there's a lot more, there's a lot more nuance to this as well, right? Like a lot of times we see people that may be skilled from a book smarts or an educational level, but they're just not very good, or they don't want to work, pay the dues, or they have this entitlement mindset or whatever. And I know all those things are factors. But for me, just from what I've seen boots on the ground, I've seen quite a few people who I think are very job worthy, who have good credentials, good experience, and they're struggling to find jobs. And so there seems like there's something more to this, because our colleges and universities made a shift years ago, at least 10 years ago, where I remember being on several college advisory boards for universities throughout the country, where they were putting these programs into place to start producing this talent. And so I don't know how we can think that someone being educated maybe in India is getting a better education than someone being educated here in the U.S. for the last 10 years.
Yeah.
You know, I don't see where the issue is matching up.
My friend Sean Tuma is a data privacy attorney, cybersecurity pro. We're talking about the H-1B visa and all this high-tech talent that's being imported into this country. And I don't see this happening in other sectors, biotech, genome research, medical. Man, can you imagine the uproar in the either pharma or medical industry? They put limits. We have limits, unnecessarily, in my opinion, unnecessarily imposed limits on the number of doctors that we graduate, specialists that we graduate in this country. We've got the medical societies and all these other people that are influencing these major decisions, how many medical schools, how many openings we have. We could probably graduate a lot more doctors. How about we import all these doctors, all these specialists? And we're already doing, as far as nurses from the Philippines, how about on the medical sector side? Can you imagine the uproar on the med side?
I mean, it's interesting you say that, because one of the themes I'm hearing in cyber and tech, especially cybersecurity, is the need to professionalize many of these roles in cybersecurity to make sure that the people who are doing more of the executive level jobs, like the chief information security officers, to ensure that they are meeting certain qualifications and standards before they're put in charge of these roles of protecting companies, you know? And so you're hearing the themes for the need to professionalize on the one hand, yet we're also seeing, to your point, this lack of regulation or control on the other hand. And so just something's not adding up with all this.
We need to change those rules when it comes to immigration, in my opinion, when it comes to H-1B visas.
It seems we have a narrative out there that's been very well established, and we need to just look behind it and figure out, is it accurate or is it not? And that, to me, is to your point. We need to have those conversations before we just accept it as true and go on with it.
Maybe a requirement. There's so many different job sites out there. We have so many young people, young professionals that are seeking these jobs in America. They're Americans. If you can't find college grads from the U.S., if you can't find young professionals in the U.S., maybe the rules should say, okay, maybe you go to plan B or plan C, go H-1B, after you prove that you tried to hire some of these people, it just didn't work out. And then you can go for the cheaper labor from overseas. We need to have that conversation. And another thing, Sean, you don't leave the motherland, China, unless you're a good Chi-Con, a communist in good standing with the party. That's the way it is. And we have been burned in this country at university levels, at corporate levels, at medical levels, intellectual data that has been stolen from universities, from researchers, patents, all, and been shoveled back to China. That needs another go over by folks in D.C., by the president, by folks in Congress. We need to look at that, because China is not our friend. They steal a lot of the intellectual data in this country. The advances in AI and having all that being shoveled back to China, man, that needs to be looked at as well.
It is a difficult situation, because it's where our principles of freedom and equal opportunity that we pride ourselves on as being Americans are used to exploit us in many cases. We've certainly seen a pattern over the years of these intellectual property thefts, military secrets, you know, things of that nature happening that way. And we know it is a designed plan by the Chinese to do that, because they know that our freedom is our vulnerability, and they take advantage of it. But on the other hand, if we give up or change our principles of freedom too aggressively, are we now becoming like them? You know, and are we losing what makes us America? It's a challenge, you know. It's a difficult balancing act.
Be well, my friend. Success in 2025. Good to talk to you again.
Sergio, you too.
Data privacy attorney, a cybersecurity pro, Sean Tuma. I'm Sergio Sanchez in for my friend Dana Lash. Stick around. We got Florida Man coming up, and just one rather visual story. You know how they say television is one thing. You see the picture. But once the story is told to you, boy, it becomes more vivid. That's the case with a firework accident. Some genius Florida man I'll share with you next on The Dana Show.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
This is one of these stories that I know your mind's eye will be more graphic than probably it was, but check this out. This an example, kids, and you could use this as a teachable moment for the kids, how dangerous fireworks could be. So from Florida City, and big thank you to WSVN, U-Haul van seen on surveillance with a side splattered with blood following an accident involving fireworks. So the driver was desperately searching for help after, obviously, fireworks popped in his hand, maybe improvised, maybe homegrown fireworks, because, he had a U-Haul full of these fireworks. I'm trying to sanitize this as much as possible because, some of y'all get kind of queasy thinking about blood. So surveillance video captured the victim's injured hand hanging, or whatever was left of it, hanging out of the driver's side window. And, of course, you can see the blood. And, of course, I'm sure as the vehicle is moving, there you go. That's the splattered stuff on the side of the vehicle. They believe that the victim was selling illegal fireworks out of a vehicle when one of them exploded in his hand. Now, Florida man, genius, lit one of them to show what the kids or a potential customer how this thing worked. We know how it works, dopey. Miami-Dade police bomb squad also was called to help destroy the rest of the stash that he had in the vehicle. According to Florida police, the victim was not cooperating. And this story reminded me, growing up in Houston, my dad would take me out to Harris County, the county line, get some Black Cat. Remember the Black Cat fireworks? I used to patiently open them up, put the powder in one paper, and make a tight ball of it and put it into a Texas-sized red ant mound. Ants flying everywhere. I'm Sergio Sanchez. You're listening to The Dana Show.
Haley has confirmed in just the last few minutes that he is an active duty U.S. Special Forces soldier assigned to 10th Special Forces Group, according to four U.S. officials, that he holds the rank of Master Sergeant, a senior enlisted rank, these officials said. Three officials said he was on active duty serving in Germany, and he was on leave when this happened on New Year's Day.
Welcome to Hour 3 of The Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez. It's an honor for me to be with you today, broadcasting from KURV, faithful affiliate of The Dana Show, and appreciate you tuning in right now or maybe later in the day when you got pre-recorded versions of the show or online as well. So here's what we know about these two terrorist incidents. One, quite the solid terrorist event. That was one in New Orleans. 14 dead. It was the FBI did a press release. They did a press event just a few minutes back, about an hour ago. They mentioned 14 dead and dozens injured as you had this terrorist, this Islamo-fascist radicalized terrorist waving an ISIS flag. He proclaimed his allegiance to ISIS and plowed through Bourbon Street. Lots of people there celebrating the new year, just spending time with family. Just this animal went in there and killed at least 14, injured dozens more. The second terrorist event. Now, I could say terrorist bomber, but I guess it's a terrorist who killed himself, whether it was intentional or not. And this guy, the one you heard this cut from CNN, active duty Green Beret on leave, stationed in Europe. Very suspicious, everything. So he takes vacation, comes to the U.S., fills a vehicle, fills a rented cyber truck full of accelerants and cans full of fuel and accelerants and fireworks. And you saw what he did. You see that on social media. The video is unbelievable. Although, in an effort to make a statement, I'm guessing, right? That's what we're all thinking. He's making a statement. Donald Trump and Elon Musk have become quite friends. You know, they're quite chummy with each other. They seem to be pretty close friends now. They agree on many things, not all things, but they agree on many things. And you can thank X, formerly Twitter, X that allowed conservatives to express their point of view, allowed people like Joe Rogan to put a show up there and have a conversation with Donald Trump. You can thank Barron Trump for telling Dad to go on some of these podcasts. But all this information, no suppression, just all that information out there, yeah, I can make an argument. That definitely helped Donald Trump win the White House this go around. He was real. He's down to earth. You can relate with him, understand him, and know that he's got a plan to fix things and cares about this country. America first is the idea. So in an effort to make a statement, let me blow up. You just see this guy was thinking, this terrorist. This terrorist who blew up himself, I don't know if, you know, he's a suicide bomber or he's a terrorist who committed suicide because he killed himself. It is what it is. So this guy, I'm thinking, all right, I'm going to rent me a Cybertruck and I'm going to fill up with all these explosives, pull the trigger, boom, and right there at the tower, right there at the big hotel in Las Vegas for Donald Trump, make a statement. Take that, Elon Musk. Take that, Donald Trump. Well, Dopey chose the wrong vehicle. I mean, can you imagine the unsolicited marketing, what is taking place in the minds of millions? Like, if it's taking place in my mind, I know you're thinking about this as well. Wow, a Cybertruck, that stuff, that sucker's really sturdy. That sucker holds its frame. Man, you talk about American-made quality. It's Cut 16, Las Vegas police talking about the Cybertruck, how it minimized the damage at the Trump Hotel. Go ahead, Steve.
What I also would like you to pay attention to on that video, as you see that, it looks like the exterior of that truck is completely intact as it sits there. The fact that this was a Cybertruck really limited the damage that occurred inside of the valet, because it had most of the blast go up through the truck and out. In fact, if you look on that video, you'll see that the front glass doors at the Trump Hotel were not even broken.
That's amazing. Man, you can't buy publicity like that. Man, I'm watching over the next several weeks I'm going to be listening to see if sales of the Elon Musk Cybertruck go up, if the stock goes up as a result of this. Man, that's some awesome publicity. Talk about American-made quality, anti-terrorist Cybertruck. Cut 15, Steve-O, more from Las Vegas PD.
Yes, actually, I have to thank Elon Musk specifically. He gave us quite a bit of additional information in regards to how the vehicle was locked after it exploded due to the force of the nature, or the nature of the force from the explosion, as well as being able to capture all of the video from the Tesla charging stations across the country. And he sent that directly to us, so I appreciate his help on that. I'll take one more question.
Fascinating. Yeah, good for him. Good for him. All right. Now, Tom Holman, I mentioned him earlier. He was in the news commenting on how the Biden administration and the unsecured border led to so many individuals, Lord knows how many individuals, come into this country who hate this country. Now, as I mentioned a couple hours back at the beginning of the show, there was a cut with Joe Biden, how he seemed to be thrown out there, just thrust out there, didn't take any questions, just thrust out there just hours after the incident, after New Orleans and after Las Vegas, and trying to stay ahead of everything. And it's my opinion, that the administration, whoever's handling Joe Biden, maybe Joe Biden, I don't know who's handling him, his minions, trying to put him out there because I'm not a close personal friend of Tom Holman, but I've had the privilege of speaking with him through the years, through the Trump years and now post-Trump years. And, you know, up in D.C., they have these immigration get-togethers, and Tom was always there, and I always loved speaking with him, interviewing him. So I got to know a little bit of how he thinks. Always. And by the way, Tom, if you're listening, you're welcome to come on the program tomorrow to talk a bit more about this. But the unsecured border that Joe Biden created allowed Lord knows how many people who hate this country, want to destroy this country, their wet dream is to take America down. Their wet dream is to see a mushroom fire cloud over American cities. That is the Islamic fascist point of view. That is what they dream about, is to kill the great Satan, to kill America. And those individuals are the top enemies, not some white supremacy group, not the, you know, racist groups. They're powerless compared to what these Islamofascists can do. And Tom Holman was chiding the administration for the open border, allowing so many individuals to come into this country who hate this country. There was a, speaking of those immigration groups that, that monitor policy up in D.C., there was one write-up I want to share with you real quick. This is Federation for American Immigration Reform, and I congratulate them for the many, many years that they did those press events, and they did the talk shows from Washington, D.C. They brought in, oh my goodness, dozens and dozens. I would say about 100 radio stations across the nation. They would have these get-togethers, these powwows. They would walk the halls of Congress, knock on doors, lawmakers saying, you got to fix immigration law. You got to put a border wall up. And so the Federation of Immigration, American Immigration Reform, they no longer do those little get-togethers. Now they're trying to attack this issue by going direct to the public as much as they can and inform. This is a little bit of tidbit of information. I was talking about Tom Holman, the immigration czar, and I'm looking forward to him to finally getting it done. Anyone who's in the country illegally, as he said, anybody who's in the country illegally, you can be deported. That's the way it works. You should not be here. So some numbers that the gang over at Federation American Immigration Reform ran, and the gang over at the Department of Government Efficiency, DOGE, they posted this on their Twitter page. In 2023 alone, illegal immigration cost taxpayers over $150 billion. Now, to put everything into perspective, may I remind you, just a few years back, we do need to adjust for inflation a little bit, because between Donald Trump and Joe Biden, who screwed things up when it came to response to COVID and economic response to COVID and supply chain response to COVID, Joe Biden screwed everything up. Yeah, back then, Donald Trump wanted $25 billion, $25 billion to complete the U.S.-Mexico border wall. And may I remind you, I never forgot this, because I was the one screaming, no, don't do this. President Trump, in his first term, he called the Democrats bluff. He said, give me $25 billion for the wall. And the so-called dreamers, the kids who were brought here when, you know, they were little babies, little kids, and their parents crossed illegally, and they grew up in this country. They don't even know how to speak Spanish or their native language, whatever it might be. I'll give them citizenship. The dreamers will become citizens, and their parents as well. That's where I went, no, what are you doing? But he called their bluff. The master negotiator, Donald Trump. The Democrats didn't blink. It's not about amnesty. It's not about citizenship. It's not about saving the dreamers. It's not about saving their families. It's not nothing about that. He only wanted $25 billion, adjusted for 30% inflation. Let's see, that's, you know, $30 billion. I'm going to put you up about $30 billion, $35 billion. Last year, the year before, 2023, illegal immigration cost taxpayers over $150 billion. The border wall would have cost us, adjusted for inflation, over $30 billion. Imagine having saved all that money by having proper security at the border and only allowing, because at some point, I mean, I'll make the army, you really can't secure the border 100%, but you could probably do 99.99999%, so you have a trickle coming in. People would just get away somehow. They find a way to get away. They're in a vehicle hidden, stashed beneath a floorboard, something like that. $150 billion was a price tag for Americans paying for illegal immigration, housing, medical, education, transport, planes, bus, all that stuff. World War I, adjusted for inflation, cost a little bit over twice that, $333 billion. So we paid in 1 year half the cost of what this country paid for World War I. Isn't that crazy? The Apollo space program, for the many, many years, cost $257 billion. Again, these are numbers adjusted for inflation. Illegal immigration cost us over $150 billion. The Manhattan Project that got us the bomb, $30 billion. the Panama Canal, which I hope Donald Trump can take back. Jimmy Carter, that was one of the biggest goofs by his administration. All that American sweat and blood, all those lives lost, Americans who dug that Panama Canal. Yes, a lot of folks in Panama and Central America worked as well, but that was American engineering. $15 billion, one-tenth. The Panama Canal cost one-tenth of what we paid in 1 year for illegal immigration in this country. And a big hug to Las Vegas, Larry and all the gang. Hoover Dam, $1 billion adjusted for inflation. Ain't that crazy? My goodness. I'm Sergio Sanchez reporting to you from the Dana Show Southern Command in the Rio Grande Valley of Texas. You're listening to the Dana Show.
Not able to catch the full Dana Show? Follow Dana's Absurd Truth podcast and get news and laughs delivered in short, easy-to-digest episodes. Ideal for your busy lifestyle on Apple or wherever you get your podcast.
Reporting to you from the Dana Show Southern Command in the RGV of Texas, I'm Sergio Sanchez. Happy New Year. Let's do some headlines.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So Elon Musk is being accused of censoring some conservatives on X, individuals who disagreed with his recent views on immigration H-1B visas. Musk is all thumbs up. So is Vivek Ramaswamy. So is Donald Trump. They like H-1B. Other conservatives say, no, it needs to be reformed. So over the past couple of days, at least 14 conservative accounts who disagreed with Elon Musk, they claim that X revoked their blue verification badge, so cut them off from features that allow them to monetize what they post. Let's see what else is here. Washington state authorities say the two men who were searching for Sasquatch, Bigfoot, have been found dead in the forest. They went out to the wilderness in Washington state. They plan to return home by Christmas Eve. They didn't. Family called authorities and they began a three-day search. Included canines and drones. The bodies of the men were found in a heavily wooded area. And authorities say that these two succumbed to exposure. Moviegoers are going to have to wait even longer to return to Gotham City, DC Studios. One of the co-chiefs there is saying the Batman 2 has been kicked down the road another year. October 1st, 2027 is when Batman 2 comes out. And Pantone Color Systems, that's a standard bearer for names of colors in all industries. They have named the color of the year. They say it was their Pantone 17-1230 Mocha Mousse. That sounds pretty right now. I think if they can get it to actually smell like mocha and chocolate mousse, even better, right? I'll buy some like right now. I'm Sergio Sanchez. This is The Dana Show from South Texas.
Keep your finger on the pulse with the Dana Show podcast, delivering timely news with insightful analysis whenever you want, straight to you on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, it's a numbers game. We have the smallest margin in U.S. history. We'll have a margin of probably two votes tomorrow during that, so can only afford to lose one or two. But I think we'll get it done. I really do, Lawrence.
We know that one lawmaker has said no, the vote. The vote might be no. Or maybe vote present, as was explained to me by a friend up in D.C. A couple hours back. It might be present, so that would lower the threshold down to 217 that he would need in order to win the speakership. That's Mike Johnson, Speaker of the House. He's confident. He says the votes are there. It's only going to take one more to create chaos. And who's the first person that comes to mind? Well, Matt Gaetz isn't there anymore, right? And you already know who the second. MTG. Marjorie Taylor Greene, right? The clock is ticking. I'm just waiting any moment now. She's going to say, no, I'm voting no for Speaker. And then send everything into a tailspin. Unless Donald Trump got to her and said, no, please don't do this. Well, we need to plow forward. Please confirm me as president. Get that vote out of the way. Let's get this thing done. Stick around for a conversation I had with my friend Joe Cardinale, who is a friend of Curtis Sliwa from the Guardian Angels. The Guardian Angels, remember that? Throwback to the past, how these people volunteered. Some people called them vigilantes, but no, they all through the years, they never got, I don't recall any big headlines, the Guardian Angels in New York getting into trouble. Curtis Lee is the founder. He's a friend of Joe Cardinale's, and I want to do a New York City update. What's going on in the subways now that the Guardian Angels in New York, they're patrolling. They're out there volunteering, patrolling, making sure the subways are safe. This, of course, after days after that young woman, an illegal immigrant, doused her with accelerant and ignited her and killed this young woman on the subway. So that conversation with Joe coming up in a little bit. I want to share with you some delicious roast audio. Her name is Whitney Cummings. Not that familiar with the comic circuit, but I think she's a stand-up. And she did good on the CNN show, the New Year's Eve show. Whitney Cummings is saying the Dems couldn't hold a primary because they were too busy holding up a dead Joe Biden. It's cut 23, Steve-O.
2024 election fried our brains. The Democrats couldn't hold a primary because they were too busy holding a body upright. Are we still rolling? Am I off?
Go for it.
I would have given her the rim shot, but I'm dumb. That was good. No, and that wasn't all. Democrats are pro-choice party. Oh, yeah. Here's a cut 24, Steve.
It was amazing that the pro-choice party didn't give their voters one when it came to the presidential candidate. Kamala was forced on us so hard you'd think she was patented by Pfizer or Moderna, whichever one's. Oh, God.
Oh, my goodness. Forced vaccination. All right. Let me share with you now an update for New York, as I told you. The Guardian Angels, remember them? They are on patrol, volunteers, trying to keep their community safe. They're in the subways after a just nasty, awful incident a few days back involving an illegal immigrant who attacked a young woman and set her on fire. Poor thing died inside that subway. Here's my friend Joe Cardinale, retired NYPD. Subway violence, attacks at a nightclub, all just mayhem taking place up in New York, it seems, and all these headlines. My friend Joe Cardinale, he's a retired New York PD lieutenant commander. Happy New Year, my friend. I'm so glad that you're able to join me on the program today.
Happy New Year to you too, my friend.
One of the big stories was New York subway and this poor woman. She got doused with some accelerant and she burned to death. And it was an illegal immigrant who was kicked out, came back in under Joe Biden. And we know what happened there. And I saw this headline that Curtis Sliwa, the Guardian Angels, man, talk about a name from the past, Guardian Angels. I'm glad to see that they're still up and running. So can you just, let me start there. Can you describe what the Guardian Angels do? Are they all volunteer? Are they paid? How does Curtis run this operation?
Absolutely not paid. All right, it's a volunteer. Curtis started this a long time ago. Curtis is from my neck of the woods in Brooklyn. So I know him, and he's, you know, he's dedicated to this. He's dedicated his whole life to this, you know, public service in one form or another. And they're a necessity out there. They're not afraid to get involved. They're going to do what Daniel Penny did, all right? And they're going to go out there, they're going to get involved, and they're going to be a force to be reckoned with out there. So it's going to be something that they have to, people are going to see them. They wear the red berets, the red jackets, and they have been effective for many, many years because they're just a force of three or four that run together, sometimes two, but people see them and people feel safer with them.
Speaking of Daniel Penny and what came from that, he should never have been prosecuted, but he was. And you know, one of the heartbreaking images, some of the heartbreaking video from New York was to see other people just walk by, even security people just walk by. And this poor woman, she was still standing. Somehow, she was still standing there, just burning to death.
Sergio, watched that video, and I've been on there a few times about it. And he turned around, and this was something that the accelerant affected her and consumed her body so fast that it was just amazing that anybody could even get in there. The cops tried. You couldn't get in there. Once this happened, it was accelerated by the doors being open as well. So it wasn't that anybody could go in there. There was no fire extinguishers at hand. They didn't have a large blanket to try to put over her.
Jeez.
And, you know, it was disgusting. I don't know if anybody has ever seen that before, but, you know, that you to see that live is like, well, people have to understand that this is just a disgusting scene. But the aftermath of it is just as worse. You know, and I'm going to tell you something. It's something that you cannot just run in there and do something with. The cops couldn't even do that. And he stood there fanning the flames, this illegal migrant. And what's the first thing that they're trying to do make an insanity defense for him. They don't even know what his frame of mind is. He was alcohol, and, you know, induced rage, and that's exactly what happened with this.
The reason I mentioned the Dan Penny effect, is there, do you think law enforcement or just New Yorkers, just other people are hesitant to do anything about in a situation like this because of what happened to Dan Penny, where the prosecutors are misguided and they'll go after the hero before they go after the criminal?
Just nailed it. You just summed it right up. The prosecutors will go after the cops before they go after somebody else. All right, before the cops are handcuffed and people like Daniel Penny are handcuffed from the beginning. This ADA Bragg, you and I have discussed him so many times, and it just gets progressively worse because he has a political agenda that does not coincide with his role as a district attorney of Manhattan. He turns around and he prosecutes cops. He did it to Sergeant Provenzano. All right. He did it to him with the Apple store incident. It's always something that he's got to get political gain out of. All right. And that was exactly what happened with Daniel Penny. All right. Daniel Penny did not intend to kill this individual. He tried to subdue him. And by the guy's own prior drug use and his own, fighting him, you know, a tragedy occurred where, you know, he died. Daniel Penny most certainly did not try to kill him. Right. But yet Alvin Bragg decided to bring charges against him, just like he did with President Trump, because it's political gain for him. And he does not have the same vim and vigor to go after the true criminals. All right. They walk around and only the cops and people like Trump and Daniel Penny are the ones that get prosecuted.
My friend Joe Cardinale, retired New York PD Lieutenant Commander, my guest, Status Report New York, and it's amazing how they stepped it up. Security did. They stepped up security for New Year's, and thank God we cleared the holiday, and that came and went now in the rearview mirror. But there are some enclaves, I understand, that are still seeing some violence because you got a large illegal immigrant population. So what can you tell me? What's taking place up in New York?
Well, January 20th is going to be what's taking place. And then you finally have Mayor Adams.
Oh, yeah, Eric Adams.
He's going to turn around and, cooperate with ICE and everything. And I think when Tom Holman gets in there and does the job he has to do, when we round up especially this Venezuelan gang, Tren de la Agua, we need to get rid of them before anybody else. And you know what? They say we're not taking them back. I told you my plan a long time ago to get them back. Put them on a C-4 transport with a fighter escort with parachutes on their back and let them know they're coming into the country. They're coming into the country, and either you let us land with them or we're dropping them over your most influential areas, all right? And where they land, they land. You go through what we went through.
You probably have not seen this guy. I went fishing in the international, the Spanish media. Nicaragua is threatening to shut down, kick out the U.S. base, the Air Force base, that's in Nicaragua, if Donald Trump does a mass deportation, sends back about 250,000 illegals back to Honduras. Just a little side note there. I think you would find interesting. Eric Adams can't afford the bill, the multi-billion dollar bill of taking care of all these illegal immigrants. I'm not surprised that he's done a 180, and now all of a sudden he's pro-border security and kick them out working with ICE. Didn't he lift the sanctuary city designation in New York, or was that just a promise that he would do in the future?
He did.
He did, right?
No, he lifted it. He said, we can't afford it. But you know what? You know, he doesn't. I said a long time ago, you should have thought about this before you designated us a sanctuary city, because what do you think was going to happen? And I know the neighborhood because I grew up in a neighborhood where they had one of the biggest encampments, all right? And it was nothing but crime-ridden area now because they were doing the quality of life crimes, and they're over there passing out on people's front lawns and everything. And that was when in the wintertime I warned them. I said, this is wintertime. Wait until summer comes and they're out and about, and sure enough, quality of life crimes went through the roof. And it was, you know, being a former captain in the NYPD, he should have realized what was going to happen with this, right? But he didn't. Once again, the political face went on before the common sense face went on, all right? And now he's backpedaling, but it's a little too late because now they're entrenched into our neighborhoods, and we have to, you know, pick them out of there. And it's on Long Island, you know, we thank God the law enforcement and everybody that's on board with it, they've been on board, and we fight it any way we can on Long Island because it definitely trickles out there, and they keep putting them out there, flying them into the airports over there as well.
Joe, you take care, my friend. We'll talk to you soon.
You got it, my friend. Happy New Year to you and the family and everybody down there.
Retired Lieutenant Commander NYPD Joe Cardinale. I'm Sergio Sanchez in for my friend Dana Lash, and she should be with us, Lord willing, early next week. Some of the other news of the day. President Biden awarding Republican Rhino Liz Cheney Presidential Citizen's Medal. Did that today. Former Congresswoman, of course, she hates Trump and put together all that J6 stuff. She and 18 other individuals at the White House today, they received the award given to U.S. citizens who have, quote, performed exemplary deeds of service for their country and their fellow citizens. And Biden, he and his minions, he doesn't know what's going on. He probably doesn't know what's going on. His minions, they just want to keep sticking it to Donald Trump every chance they get. First, Biden, with all the pardons of all these people on death row, these murderers, these criminals on death row, lets them go. And now this Liz Cheney receives some top citizens medal. Bernie Thompson, her partner in crime, and I'd say crime because, man, this needs to be investigated by the Republicans who take power here pretty soon. Congressman Bernie Thompson also receiving the award. He served as chairman of the J6 committee. So once we pick this up, after, and let's prioritize here, boys and girls, let's get those tax cuts approved. Let's make sure to do proper border security and funding for border security and for ICE to get people out here. Let's prioritize the things that need to pass, and then you can start your little investigations onto how Liz Cheney and Bernie Thompson and the J6 committee, they hid evidence, they manipulated evidence, they lied, they suppressed evidence. All these are crimes. They need to be prosecuted. I'm Sergio Sanchez. You're listening to The Dana Show, coming to you from KURV Studios in South Texas.
Not able to catch all 3 hours of The Dana Show? Subscribe to the full podcast and get news and laughs delivered in short, easy-to-digest episodes. Ideal for your busy lifestyle on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
Thank you much for joining us today. Happy New Year to you and your family. This is The Dana Show. No, I'm not Dana Lash. She's my friend. This is the Dana Show Southern Command reporting to you from the studios of KURV South Texas, RGV, home to Star Base. It's the RGV of Texas. Some other notes I want to share with you, interesting notes. A chess champ booted from a competition over clothing. Now, y'all who are in education, you guys probably still in a winter break right now. You guys were teachers. Some of y'all pay, what, an extra $5 on Fridays? Dress down Fridays. Maybe you do that at the office too, right? Dress down Fridays. You pay into some charity pot or something like that. You guys are fundraising. Everybody pays $5. You get to wear jeans. You get to wear mom jeans to work, right? His name is Magnus Carlsen. He's from Norway. 5-time world chess champ at the World Chess Championship. And a few days back, he declined changing his jeans, which, you know, you're supposed to dress up in nicer clothes, like business clothes. Violation of International Chess Federation rules. You cannot wear blue jeans. Mr. Magnus Carlsen was told to, you know, put something else on. He said no. First, he was fined $200 for breaching the rules before he ultimately quit. He withdrew from the competition. Again, this guy's a 5-time world chess champion. Now, my question was, how much money did this guy give up? He paid $200 for the violation, and then he refused to change his jeans into nicer pants. I mean, walk down the street, wherever they have there in Norway, like the Norway version of Walmart or Target, just get yourself some nice pants and come back. So I went digging just a little bit, and it popped up. The prize fund allocated by Google, by the way, $2.5 million. And each player receives around $200,000. Man, that's a lot of jeans you can wear during non-competition days. $200,000 for each game that he won. And this guy was a winner. He won this world chess competition 5 times. So he probably stacked up so much in winnings, he probably just didn't want to play anymore. But that's how much money this dude probably gave up, several $1 million for not competing. Let's see. Americans are optimistic about President-elect Donald Trump's ability to control immigration. Gallup poll showing more than 2 in 3 Americans say, yeah, he can secure the border. The governor of New Orleans saying that the Super Bowl will be played today and everything will be safe, extra security. And authorities believe that the suspect behind the Tesla Cybertruck explosion outside the Trump Hotel in Vegas took his own life. Meantime, in New Orleans, 14 people killed, dozens more injured as that truck plowed through the crowd on New Year's in New Orleans. The FBI says they are positive, at least for now, that there is no connection. Really? All the coinkydinks? Let's see how this shakes out over the next 21 hours. I'm Sergio Sanchez. This is The Dana Show.